Else Woodkey's husband was abducted, beaten, threatened, and held in inhumane conditions. But from early on in that ordeal, God gave Els the grace to love like Jesus loved.
The Lord spoke to me and said, at that time, I want you to love the enemy. From the very beginning, really, bitterness and anger did not have a big place in me because of that. And now Jeff coming back and hearing how horrific it really was, you know, I could realistically perhaps let that enter into my heart, but I just don't. I don't.
Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the life of the apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Join host Todd Nettleton as we hear their inspiring stories and learn how we can help, right now on the Voice of the Martyrs Radio Network.
Welcome again to the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. For the last 2 weeks, if you have been listening, we have heard the story of Jeffrey Woodkey. He was a gospel worker and a humanitarian worker in the country of Niger when he was violently kidnapped. He was held for 6.5 years in the African wilderness by several terrorist groups, including Al-Qaeda. The level of suffering he endured, honestly, it's hard for us to imagine. If you missed any of those programs, I hope you'll go and listen at vomradio.net. I want you to hear the story that Jeff Woodkey told us. We heard last week how Jeff was finally released, but we didn't really tie a nice bow on the story. Jeff is still dealing today with the trauma, and these programs will help you to empathize with him and to pray for him and others suffering for the sake of the gospel. During those 6.5 years, Jeff's wife, Els, was also suffering in her own way. She didn't know where her husband was. She didn't receive enough communication to know his condition. At times, she didn't know if he was still alive. Today, we're going to hear her side of the story. Maybe start, how did you hear that Jeff was coming home?
Yeah, that's a great moment.
One of the best.
One of the best. I was still in bed. It was like a little after 4, my phone rang. And that usually doesn't happen. So I picked it up, and it was just one of the fusion cell people that said, Jeff has been recovered. That's how they call it. Jeff has been recovered. And, you know, that moment, I always say there are moments that are too big for words. But, you know, there's also moments that are too big for tears. So I felt like, you know, wanting to cry. And I thought, no, I'm not going to waste my tears on this person. So I just sucked it up and said, oh, wow, tell me more, you know. So that was the moment.
Over the course of the 6.5 years, and I know we talked about this, if you know, I'm like, is Jeff still alive? We don't know. Did you ever come to the point of thinking he's not coming home, or did you always have the kind of confidence, nope, he's still alive?
Yeah, I always had the confidence. But I have to say, honestly, of course, the mind wandered sometimes, but I always pulled it back. I just wouldn't allow myself to go there. Sometimes we don't have the faith for a yes, but we have the faith that it's not a no. That's what I felt.
It's interesting in hearing you say that, I'm reminded of the founder of Voice of the Martyrs, Richard Wurmbrand, was in prison for 14 years. Mm-hmm. And at one point, they actually sent someone who claimed to be an escaped prisoner to his wife, Sabina, who said, you know, Richard is dead. I saw Richard. He died. I was there. And she never felt that was true. Like, she never felt that he was dead. It sounds like you had that kind of same experience.
Yes. At a certain point, came over unexpectedly, an unplanned visit, because they had heard a pretty credible report that Jeff had died. But I did the same thing. I, you know, at first you take it in, and then I just felt, no, I would have known. Somewhere I felt I would have known. So many people were praying, and I always felt like, Lord, you're not going to have the whole world praying for nothing. For years, while he is dead, I just could not believe that that would happen.
How did you experience God's love as this dragged on and on and on?
Before this happened, like 4 days before, somebody had a really strange word from me, from the Lord. And one component of that was, oh, I see a cloud over you with a string attached to it. I mean, when you hear it, it's like, what nonsense is that? But I felt a connection with it. I thought, this is the Lord. And then that was on a Monday. And then Friday, Jeff was kidnapped. And I just felt that was the Lord telling me, I am with you, hold on. So that was just very strong. So I held on, and that was the promise of the Lord, I am with you.
Did you feel like you were just grabbing onto that string with both hands? And I'm not going to let go.
Yeah, I hold on to God's presence in my life. And I'm not going to be distracted by everything else. The main thing is hold on to God's presence. And I did that.
Yeah. How hard was that at the hardest times?
Do you know, honestly, I've had moments when I lost it. And I would say, the dams are breaking. And I would, you know, I would be pretty desperate and very loud in my grief. But it always passed. Peace always came back.
You mentioned the number of people that were praying. Did you know how many people, or did you know from day one, or how did you find out that, like, there's people in America, there's people in Europe, there's everywhere, there's people praying for Jeff and praying for you?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, we were missionaries. So we were part of an international community in Niger. So all these people have their own circles. And, you know, they would communicate to me, oh, well, so-and-so, and this base here, and those people there. So I would hear it through the years, literally, that people all over the world were praying for Jeff. It was amazing. And that was also very strengthening for my faith. Mm-hmm. Because really, people can pray for somebody they don't know and never hear about for a little while. But for people to continue to pray for that long, for a person they never heard how it was going, and they didn't know, that was a miracle. That was God. Mm-hmm. I just believe that. Yeah.
Did you ever wish that you had been there too?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. It was terrible not to be there with him. Yeah.
Even though that would involve a lot of suffering for you, but you would still rather be together.
Yeah. Yeah, because I knew how he would suffer. And sometimes it sounds strange, you know, at the same time I had a friend and her husband had cancer. And sometimes I was jealous of her just because she could. She could care. She could give. She could comfort. She could. I could nothing. That was very hard.
Again, I'm reminded of Hanalei Grunwald, whose family was killed in Afghanistan. And she wasn't home that day when their home was attacked. And she said, I wish I would have been there. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have been there with my children when they were killed. I don't think that's uncommon, but it's, at the same time, it's kind of hard for us to think about. You really do wish that you had been taken hostage with him.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, you know, I have to say, though, Jeff would not have liked it. So I don't know if it would have done any good.
He was glad you were not there.
It would have made his suffering probably worse.
Right.
But from my side, where I was, I wished I was there.
Were there things that the Lord did through this that renewed your strength, renewed you for another day?
You know, in the very beginning, when all this happened, and I recognized it as a huge satanic attack, I determined to grow and not to become less. So I determined that. And I mean, I don't want to say that proudful.
Right.
But, you know, I gave notice. Let me say it like that. I gave notice. So I worked at that. I worked at staying strong and spending lots of time with the Lord and listening to podcasts and reading, spending time with my friends. So I put a lot into my life, you know, ate healthy, got enough rest, did what I needed to stay strong and to keep up the faith.
From the very first day?
From the very first day, yeah.
Where do you think that came from?
That came from the Lord.
You're listening to the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. We're talking this week with Else Woodkey, the wife of Jeff Woodkey, who was kidnapped and held hostage for 6.5 years in Africa. One of the things that Jeff talked about was choosing forgiveness, even on a daily basis, choosing forgiveness. How have you processed that idea of forgiving the people who did this to your husband, who did this to you, who did this to your family? Talk a little bit about forgiveness.
You know, in the first time I had a meeting with the YMM crisis team, we were all coming together and we were, you know, we were all seeking the Lord separately for a while to see what is our role in this team. You know, what does God want me to do? And, you know, the Lord spoke to me and said at that time, I want you to love the enemy. That was my role in the team at that time. I want you to love the enemy. So that from the very beginning, really, bitterness and anger did not have a big place in me because of that. And I know that my role expanded after that, but I think that protected me from the very beginning. And now coming back, you know, Jeff coming back and hearing how horrific it really was, you know, I could realistically perhaps let that enter into my heart, but I just don't. I don't. I just try to, you know, really connect more with Jeff's suffering than with the ones that did that to him. Because at this point in time, that's just pointless. I don't want to have to work through that. You know, honestly, it's not a big point. I do want them to be brought to justice, though.
Right.
So it's not like they're off the hook. What they did was terrible, and they should be stopped, and they should be held responsible. So my forgiveness does not mean that, you know, you can continue living your good life.
You talked about entering into Jeff's suffering instead of hating the people who caused the suffering, but really entering in. Mm-hmm. What does that look like for you? How does that happen?
That's very hard. Because, you know, for all these years, I kept that at bay. There again, you know, I wasn't going to think about how the deepest I would go was his loneliness. But I wouldn't go to, you know, physical suffering and all that. I wouldn't let my mind go there. So now that I hear that, that is a road that we're still traveling kind of together right now. Yeah.
Did you have any information about what his conditions were that he was being kept in? In any of the videos or in any of the information that you got, did you have an understanding that it was really terrible conditions, or just
no? Well, I had spoken to a former hostage, so he told me what his circumstances were, and so I knew a little bit, but they were held together. So over the years, I came to understand actually that Jeff had never been with someone else. So I knew that he was alone. I was pretty sure that he was alone the whole time. That was the hardest to cope with, mm-hmm. that he was alone the whole time. I think So I had an idea, you know, those people that I talked to, they were given a little stove, they could cook for themselves, and it was way worse. Yeah. Way worse than I understood. Way, way worse.
Which in some ways is maybe a blessing that you didn't know through that whole time.
Yeah.
But obviously now you're kind of catching up. This is Todd Nettleton, and you're listening to the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. This week, we have a conversation with Else Woodkey. Her husband, Jeffrey, was kidnapped and held in West Africa for 6.5 years by terrorists there. Were there some passages of scripture that came into your heart through this time that you kind of grabbed onto, or?
Well, I lived in the Psalms. Yeah, I mean, there were different ones at times, you know. But the most that I held on to is that spoke of deliverance, mm-hmm. you know. One, the last one that I held on to very strong is like, you know, many are the sufferings of the righteous, but God delivers them from them all. So I held on to that. And there's just, I held on to the Psalms.
I can see how the Psalms would be very different when your husband's being held hostage than maybe when we read them in church on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I hear all these people singing and I'm thinking, you have no clue. You have no clue. Because, you know, and I know they're at the same time, they are physical realities, but they're also spiritual realities. Most people only know the spiritual reality of it, but we know the physical reality of those things. And I still have to come to grips with that, because even if I hear people say something, I will just shrug it off as, yeah, right, you know. Just Sunday, we were singing about our chains are gone, right? Well, for everybody means that's my chains to, you know, sin and Satan. You know, for me, it's just chains have been broken.
Right.
And so it brings me completely back to where he was. So these songs are very hard for me to sing them joyfully, because it's a flashback.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, but it might be the same for Jeff. So a lot of these songs, they're still realities in a different way than it is for most people. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Which is, I'm sure that's hard for the people in your church, the people around you, to even comprehend.
Yeah.
In fact, impossible, really, for them to comprehend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The other day, someone said to me, I was sharing a little bit about how it was going, and she said, well, you know, Else, God doesn't waste our tears. Man, I about exploded. What do you mean? Yeah, those kind of things. Sorry.
From someone who meant well.
Meant very well, but yeah, you know. Yeah, anyway.
So how do we come alongside of people who are in the situation you were in, people whose spouses are in prison or spouses are being held hostage? As believers, as people in the church, how do we come alongside them? How do we pray for them in a way that is on point?
I think the main thing for me is, I think, allow people their pain. You know, we're so willing to take away their pain. No words, nothing can ever take away the pain. And that just rubs, you know, and people try to do that. So allowing people their sadness, their grief, allow them not to be happy. You know, just allow them. I think for me, that is very important. Mm-hmm. Even now I feel that, like, you know, we just had Christmas and everybody's expectation is that we were over the moon to have Christmas together. And in a certain way we are, but we're not anywhere near that level of joy that people think we should be experiencing. And, you know, then you're almost feeling like a disappointment to people because we're not there, you know. And so that's a difficult thing of coming at you sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Let them feel their pain.
Yeah, allowed them their pain.
That's a good word. How do we pray for them?
How do we pray for people in pain? Well, you know, first of always that they would feel safe with God, you know. They have to feel safe with God. I mean, God's presence is everything. I know it's a difficult thing to be praying in faith and not see it happen right away. So I just think, pray the promises of God. Just pray the promises of God. And God, you said it. And even if it's not materialized yet, it's been spoken. This is how I believe. It's been spoken over us. It has to bear fruit. So, yeah, just pray the promise of God. You know, like for Jeff, I would pray, you keep him alive in famine. You know, those kind of things. If we drink any deadly thing, it will not harm us. And, you know, we saw the outcome from that because Jeff drank, you know, water that came out of gasoline tanks. Just imagine that water all the time. That's very cancerous and poisonous. So he just recently had a test done, and I believed there's not going to be anything bad. You know what? It was all clean. I mean, he's got an ulcer, but his intestines were clean. It had not harmed him. So I don't know, just look for the promises of God and pray those over people.
Well, I mean, you mentioned the Psalms. There are so many Psalms that are prayers that we can we can borrow on behalf of people going through that.
Yeah.
If you were speaking to the people who prayed for you and prayed for Jeff, what message would you have for them?
Oh, I would say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I would tell them that their prayers were heard by God, and they encouraged me to keep up the faith.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, we have listeners who are prayer warriors. How can we pray for you now in this season of being back together? And we've seen all this big prayer answered, but obviously there are still prayers to be prayed. How can we pray for you and for Jeff in this season?
Mainly for healing and for reconnection. I think just reconnection, because, you know, we have not been together for 6.5 years. And Jeff's experiences, you know, they, in a way, they stand between us. You know, it's not that we're not connected or not love each other, but there's terrific experiences that Jeff has to work through, and I too, you know, I too have to work through these things. So, you know, just that.
Trauma on both sides.
Trauma on both sides, yeah.
Well, I want to encourage you that there are people who are praying for you, and there will be more after they hear this. And I just want to say thank you for sharing with us, because you've been very transparent, and I'm very, very thankful.
Well, thank you for asking. It's always somewhat, you know, nice, actually, to be able to tell your story.
Wow.
Yeah.
We value your story, and I think there are a lot of people who will be blessed by it. So
let's, yeah.
Never give up in prayer. Yeah.
Never give up in prayer. Never give up in prayer. No.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I want to ask you to continue in prayer for Els and for Jeff Woodke. Pray that they will experience the Lord's healing after going through so much suffering. Els has been telling us what it was like to continue praying for her husband while he was held hostage for 6.5 years. If you've been praying for something for a long time, I hope the persistence of Els will encourage you to continue praying, to continue seeking the Lord in your situation. If you missed any of today's programs or the two parts of the conversation with Jeff Woodke, you can hear all of that at vomradio.net. Thank you for taking the time to listen this week. I hope you'll join our conversation again next week. We're going to meet a pastor from Cuba sharing how the Lord is at work in that country. In spite of the Communist Party, in spite of the government, God is at work in Cuba. You'll want to hear that story. Join us next week right here on the Voice of the Martyrs Radio Network.